Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. AI has impacted many aspects of life in recent years, but maybe none more than how we teach and learn. At the University of Delaware, the Academic Technology Services team is using AI this fall to turn thousands of instructor transcripts and lectures into interactive study tools like practice quizzes and flashcards. For this edition of Enlighten Me, Delaware Public Media's Kyle McKinnon sat down with Erin Sicaranza and Giovanna Harris of UD's Academic Technology Services team to learn more about how the university is using AI.
Erin, I understand all of this started about a year and a half ago, we'll call it roughly 18 months. So this pilot has been in the making for some time. But let's back it up a bit because I'm curious, when you and your team started brainstorming how AI could support student outcomes, what were your original thoughts there, and why did you and your team feel it was necessary to use AI as a positive tool in this context?
So, great question. I would say a lot of it really came about because Giovanna recognized the value in the data that we have been storing for a lot of years. So we've got a vast repository of recorded video class lectures and the transcripts that go with them. So there's a lot of data there that's just been sitting and really unused and untapped for the better part of almost 20 years. And she recognized that with machine learning and generative AI, we now have the capability to take that text and transform it into something that students can engage with interactively. That was not possible to do with course data, which is very complex academic data that, you know, it's now made possible because of these generative AI tools. And it was her recognition of that that sort of sparked some curiosity and playing around with. And so, yes, the project's been in existence for about a year and a half, but the idea for it came shortly after ChatGPT unveiled itself in that November of 22, I think it was. And really, she was just playing with it on the weekends and saying, I think this will work, right? So, okay, let's play with it and see where it stumbles. And we kind of stumbled into a real project, and it's been gaining steam and it's been really, really fun and very productive.
When it comes to this specific use, it sounds like the data really informed it here, but were there any other uses in terms of what you settled on? Was there anything else that was considered?
So I can feel that real quick.
Yeah, because I think it has evolved a lot.
Yeah. So for us, this is the beginning and foundation, this particular use case, but we are considering other use cases. One of the primary highlights is that this is a faculty opt-in. So when the faculties are deciding that, yes, please use this data to help students be able to use AI safely and help me also to get more familiar with AI, they're also realizing that, hey, I have my own data that I may be able to use for my own benefit. For example, maybe they taught one subject or topic most of the semester as opposed to the second time they taught it. To be able to do comparative data on like test scores, how you're teaching, what topics you're covering for how long, for them to be able to refine their own teaching strategies is something that they're very interested in. But for right now, we're saying we're going to do this kind of walled garden approach where the AI is involved, but is the faculty expertise that is the highlight of it in their own data. And then the students feel comfortable because they know that this has all been reviewed by the faculty themselves.
Erin, we'll turn to you here. When you zoom out and think about it from a 50,000 foot view, and Giovanna, feel free to chime in here. Is there a way you'll measure if this pilot is successful? And part two here, what is the ultimate goal? Is it really just to support students and even staff in a sense, or is there more to it in terms of how it affects academics and the academic experience and, you know, the overall outcomes?
Probably a little bit of all of that. I will say that really our primary driver in the beginning was we have access to this data. Let's use it for student success. Allow our students to, you know, we've got a population of students who they're sort of a kiosk generation, right? They don't have to go to a faculty member's office during office hours and then instead go onto a system and click a button to study at any hour. That's the generation of students we're dealing with. So I think giving them the tools that are personalized and helping them to advocate for their own study habits, that's sort of where this started. What it has since grown into is this ability to sort of shape how AI is being used in higher ed more broadly, really layering on. We were very intentional from the outset on coming up with ethical principles. And I learned that the hard way when I first started talking about this project and accessed all these data. People were like, oh my God, you're scraping UD Capture. How do I opt out? Right. So I'm like, no, that's not what we're doing. So I learned the hard way how to talk about, you know, we are very principled. It is all being done ethically and responsibly. And so we have documentation that we, from the outset of this project, here's why we're doing it, here's our mission, et cetera. So that became an important part of this process. And it has allowed us now to expand our collaborations. We're collaborating with AWS, Amazon Web Services, for some of the technical piece. So looking at industry partners, but also higher ed networks, where, you know, Giovanni and I have gone and spoken about this project in lots of different ways to other institutions. And there's a lot of interest. And so having a say in shaping how other universities think about their own data has become an important part of that more recently. So,
collaboration is something that we've really been intentional about in the beginning, not just with other higher education institutions, but also with our librarians, with their disability studies. We've contacted our philosophers. We've contacted our own computer science faculty. That's what we were saying, that in higher education, we're uniquely positioned to have all these expertise, and we all have the same goal, which is student success. So it's very unlike a for-profit corporation. It is something where collaboration is encouraged, and we have this wealth of knowledge and resources. So for us to be able to not only dive deep into what does it really mean to be ethical, and ask the librarians to come give a little presentation for us or to collaborate on one part. And for us to say, we're doing this project. Does anyone want to collaborate and do research on the outcomes? Does anyone want to help with workshopping what students may want for learning objects? We have instructional designers in our team who will be helping you do prompt engineering for faculty for their own data. Like, so all this collaboration is something that's making this project really impactful.
Looking ahead, do you have like a vision for how this looks in when it's expanded and used at a broader scale at UD?
We sure do. Do you want to touch this one?
So one of the things that is really a passion of mine and of ours, I think, is we have access to this technology, that's great. But also we are teaching new generations about ethics and what to expect with this technology. And AI allows us to assimilate a bunch of data and make it human readable. So now if a student has access to their own data and is able to extrapolate on trends, on statistics, what does that mean for their own learning? So there's a way to give advocacy back to the student for their learning. So for right now, you know, we can do this with courses, but what if there's other university things that we can use that allows students to be able to have their access to their own data and help with their own learning? Let's say their grades are starting to drop and they say, oh, I want to know what learning objects should I have access to, or how do I seem to learn best, as opposed to last year, I was able to ace these courses. This year, maybe not so much. What are some trends that you're seeing? So having the ability for university data and student data to be able to talk to each other while having transparency of what that looks like, I think is something I'm really excited about.
And I would say from my perspective, one of the things that has been really fulfilling for me is to build the skills and expertise in-house through this project, right? So now we've got a big set of skills in house to help think about, you know, what this could look like in 5 years.
Thanks to Erin Sicaranza and Giovanna Harris of UD's Academic Technology Services team and our Kyle McKinnon for enlightening us this week.